Hey, it's on.net. Welcome. I'm Kendra Havens. I'm going to be hosting this week. Bertrand is in New York doing Bertrand things. Today we have an awesome guest. This is Eric Molino. We're going to talk about Crazy Core.
That's right.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so Crazy Core is something you've been working... How long do you think you've been working on it for?
So I would say overall... Different parts of it have been in, you know, in the works for about a year or so. I think I started in earnest on this project probably about 6 months ago. So it's not super old.
Mm-hmm.
But bits and pieces of it I've worked on, you know, as much as a year ago.
Yeah. So what is it?
So Crazy Core is a simple 3D game that I've built with .NET Core. I've built from the ground up, I've built a game engine, an editor, and a simple game called Crazy Core. I built it from the ground up. I think it's probably one of the first engines of this kind that have been built with .NET Core. Perhaps I have kind of a competitive advantage in this space because I actually work on .NET Core.
Maybe that might help.
But I think it's probably a, you know, one of the first things that people have done like this. The reason I built it sort of from a high level was, well, there's a few reasons. The most obvious one is I like to build games. It's one of my passions. It's really fun. It's a great way to program. It's a great way to express your creativity. Some other obvious reasons were I wanted to test .NET Core. As a dev on the .NET Core team, you know, everybody has their own personal projects that they use to test the product. They want to catch bugs that they wouldn't otherwise find and just unit testing, et cetera.
Yeah.
So there were some pretty practical reasons to build this thing. It was fun. It was a way to express myself. And, you know, the reason that I'm sharing it, because for a while it was just a personal project that I worked on in my spare time. The reason I'm sharing it is because, you know, I think this is a really interesting space for people to get into. And I'd really love for, you know, other people to get excited about, you know, as excited as I am about it. You know, .NET's always been really popular for games in a variety of spaces. You know, indie games are really, you know, indie games really love .NET. A lot of them are built with it. There's also, you know, really popular things like Unity, which use .NET.
Yeah.
So it's always been sort of a popular framework to build games in. And I think .NET Core is just the natural next step for people to start thinking about building games with .NET.
Absolutely. I know you are interested in graphics, so this is kind of a way to... What graphics situation do you have with this game?
Yeah, so perhaps... Yeah, that's sort of what I was referring to when I talked about parts of this have been in development for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things about .NET is, you know, it's supposed to be a cross-platform runtime. You're not supposed to have to think about different operating systems. You're supposed to just write once, run everywhere, right?
Yeah. And with graphics, I know that can be extremely challenging.
It kind of puts a wrench in your plans. if you're trying to use hardware-accelerated graphics, you're going to have a bit of a hard time using just the stuff that's in the BCL for .NET. You know, there's various libraries out there that help you with this, but there wasn't really anything. Obviously, there was nothing that ran on .NET Core just because it's so new.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I did in this effort was write a graphics abstraction layer. It lets you write one set of, you know, code, and it'll target DirectX or it'll target OpenGL, you know, et cetera, based on which platform you're running on, so you don't have to worry about that. That's just one of the many parts of the engine that went into it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I probably spent the most time on the graphics portion of it just because I find that, you know, the most interesting.
Yeah.
And I learned the most doing that.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like really good. I'm really excited.
Oh,
I haven't played
you.
It yet, but
thank
this
you.
Is going to be really fun.
Well, yes. Along those lines, though, this was a one-man project, so there was no artists involved. So all of the art I made myself or used assets from online.
And we
so
know
there's nothing super professional there.
Yeah.
I did actually yesterday I threw together sort of a demo scene using some real artists' work that's available online. So maybe that'll show off some of the better graphical capabilities. But the game itself that I built isn't super, you know, artistic or polished. So
okay,
just
cool.
A word warning.
We'll keep it in mind. No, yeah. Yeah, developers definitely have...
Yes, it's developer
sometimes
art.
A whole new challenge when it comes to visually engaging content. Well, that's really cool. Oh, and we are going to demo this game later. We're just building up and talking
yes.
about it first. And it's going to be on Linux.
Indeed, yes.
To show off the cross-platformness.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be cool. So did you talk about how this is different from Monogame and Unity?
I have not, but that's a very good question. So Unity and Monogame are probably, you know, the two most popular frameworks or engines that people use to build games with .NET today. So the major difference between this and Unity, for example, Unity is actually a C++ game engine. Most game engines are written in C++. Most AAA games are written in C++. Unity has a thin scripting layer on top of it that lets you write, you know, your game logic and your behaviors in .NET, which is, you know, the majority of what you actually want to do when you're building a game. Monogame is different because it's lower level. It lets you build up the engine itself in .NET, so you can actually build, like, you know, the renderer in .NET, or you can build the physics engine in .NET. Mm-hmm. Contrast that with C++, where, you know, you have to have pretty specialized knowledge to accomplish that. And my engine is sort of, it's sort of on the level of, you know, Monogame.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is implemented in .NET,
which
is great because it's easy to debug, it's easy to iterate on, it's easy to run on different platforms, et cetera. So that's sort of the main differences between, the different approaches.
Mm-hmm. So what IDE did you use to develop in? Were you all like VS Code on Linux, or did you use Visual Studio mainly to debug?
I mainly developed on Windows.
Mm-hmm.
I mainly developed on Windows with Visual Studio, obviously. I did use VS Code when I was working on Linux and OS X, and I mean that was a great experience because you can get debugging, you can get IntelliSense, et cetera, in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to use. I would say because of my familiarity, I mostly developed on Windows, and then I would go and test on Linux or test on Mac.
Yeah, it's the
as I went.
Yeah, it's the like fully featured environment. I just wanted to know if I do know some devs who are like coding completely in VS Code on Docker, and that's what they mostly do all day. So it's just a really quick way to like edit something, and then they'll switch into Visual Studio if they have to do anything more complicated. But
right.
I was just curious.
Yeah, actually, and a lot of .NET developers probably never get exposed to this, but Visual Studio actually has some really great features for game development, specifically if you're trying to debug your DirectX code. There are some really, really awesome tools actually in Visual Studio that let you debug through, you know, graphics state and graphics calls and shader code and stuff like that. So that actually helped a ton when developing the game. And even though DirectX is only used on Windows, like being able to sort of debug through things and understand how things were working even on DirectX, it helped sort of even develop the OpenGL part of it, just because the abstraction layer was such that if I got it working on DirectX, it would most likely work on OpenGL.
Yeah.
So the debugging experience was just really great on Windows, and it was sort of an easy way to develop. And the great thing about, you know, .NET and .NET Core is that you really don't have to like worry about too many platform differences. So when I eventually ended up testing on Mac, so I don't have a MacBook or anything, during the development, I pretty much never tested on Mac until I was, finishing up my project and getting ready to share it with some people. I decided, people probably have MacBooks. They probably want to run.
Did you borrow a friend's? Or?
I did. I borrowed my office mate's.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
I took her laptop and used it. So at that point, I really didn't even need to make a lot of changes. There was just a few bugs here and there due to platform differences. So that was...
Wow.
I mean, that's the great thing about
.NET.
You don't need to worry about that stuff. You write it once. It pretty much works everywhere. There's just a few things I needed to work through. But like 99% of it, the vast majority of the effort was done on Windows, and it just worked everywhere else.
That's great. So you talked a little bit about how .NET Core is interesting for games. Did you cover the self-containedness and what you wanted to talk about?
I sort of talked about why .NET is just great in general. I think .NET Core specifically has some pretty cool features, you know, above and beyond what .NET Framework and, you know, Mono, et cetera, have. Or some of them are overlapping with Mono, but there's some pretty cool features, I think, about .NET Core that should get people interested in the space and kind of interested in looking into what it would take to do this sort of thing. So it's obviously open source, it's cross-platform. those are some things that are above and beyond what's in the .NET framework.
This is like unintentionally sounding really marketing-y.
Yeah, let me try to not sound too biased since I work on the product everything.
Yeah, we're just having fun. Like, you weren't paid to do this. So.
No, yeah, so this was, I mean, this is just a side project. So I'm trying not to sound too biased. But
I know.
There are some legitimate, you know, benefits to .NET Core.
We're just excited.
Yeah, it's open source, you know. And the great thing about that is, you know, in theory, you're able to, you know, rebuild any part of the stack that you want. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to make some crazy performance optimization, like down in the runtime itself, you have that opportunity. .NET Core is really easy to deploy by itself, so you don't have to have any dependency on machine state, so you don't have to have the .NET framework installed. You can just give somebody a zip file that has everything in it, and it's just gonna work, which is great. There's also some speculative things in the future that are gonna be really great.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's heard of .NET Native, which is our technology for ahead of time compilation on Windows. We have a similar technology that we're developing for other platforms called CoreRT, which is gonna be really, really cool for games. It's gonna let you ahead of time compile heavily optimized version of your game for all your platforms. So that's gonna be pretty cool. That's coming in the future, but that's the sort of technology that you're gonna be able to easily move to if you're using .NET Core. So, you know, on top of that, the fact that it's open source means we're constantly taking community contributions, we're improving things, we're making performance optimizations. You know, in the recent time frame, we've done a ton of optimizations related to memory allocations, which are gonna be really, really key for game engines because, you know, performance is top priority. Memory allocations are very important. You know, you don't wanna have long GC pauses. This sort of thing is super important, and those are the sort of things that we've been investing in with .NET Core. So that probably sounded super biased, but, you know, this is what
you're watching on .NET, so. Well, that's really cool. Do you think we should just go into the demo?
Yeah, so I think we can go demos now. So
as you can see on a Linux, what distro?
Yes, so I'm on Ubuntu 16.04 here. So I'm just going to boot into, I'm going to show like a couple of the levels. So what I've booted into here is the editor. So I mentioned before there's a few different components involved in any game engine. So let me try to express this with sort of a metaphor for people who aren't super familiar with like how game engines are architected and what an editor is. And
I love metaphors.
So the component here you're seeing is the actual editor itself. And this is built on top of the engine. So this metaphor, let me try to explain. You can think of the engine sort of like the .NET runtime. So this is the thing that actually has the core functionality that runs your game logic and handles things like rendering, it handles things like audio playback, handles things like input and windowing, etc. The editor is sort of like Visual Studio. This is the thing that lets you put together pieces of your game engine, you know, hook things together, code things, publish projects, etc. So in the same way that you would like go into Visual Studio and, you know, create, you know, do file new project, C# project, etc. You can go into this editor and you go file new project, you know, new game. And then it lets you publish the game to an executable and run it.
So it's the crazy core editor that you actually made, or?
Right. So the engine itself is sort of unnamed. It's just sort of my game engine.
Right.
Crazy core is the sample game that I built on top of it.
Oh,
so
I
the
see.
Third part of this metaphor is the actual game itself is sort of just like an individual project, an individual .NET project. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can have a bunch of games built on the engine, and the engine is just sort of this abstract, you know, engine that supports individual games.
Sure, yeah.
So I'll just play through a short level.
Excellent. Will I get to play?
Oh, you can play if you'd like.
Oh boy, okay. Whoa.
So this is one of the earlier levels. One thing you'll notice is I'm still in the editor, so the editor lets you actually play through the game inside of it without, you know, moving to a separate application. That's great for debugging and tweaking things. So this is one of the earliest levels, so it's very simple. This game itself is heavily inspired by one of my favorites from my childhood, Marble Madness. Maybe some people watching have played that game before.
Nice.
This is sort of a 3D take on it. The premise is super simple. You just roll this ball around, and your goal is to get into that white end zone over there on the left. So the premise is extremely simple. The mechanics are super simple. In this particular level, you get a power-up that lets you jump. So it lets you jump across these gaps and get up to this finish zone. It's super simple. There's like 8 levels that I built. This is sort of just a prototype game. It's not like, you know, it's just sort of a means to an end here. I was just building the game engine sort of as a, you know, a learning exercise, a technical demo, that sort of thing. So the game itself is pretty simple. Mm-hmm. It's all open source. All the stuff that I showed is open source on my GitHub profile. I have a couple
Eric
of other
Molino?
Things.
Is your whole name?
It's Molino E.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. We can link to it later.
Yeah. So there's a couple other things that I wanted to show in the editor just to show off a couple of the features, the things I built. I will say, so my purpose for showing this is sort of not to necessarily, you know, demonstrate some incredible features or amazingly advanced engine. There's certainly much more advanced game engines out there, much more easier to use, etc. This is just sort of a tech demo to show what's possible with .NET Core. You know, get people interested in seeing what you can do with it.
Yeah. Is this the level that the artist has helped you with already?
Oh, no.
Because look
it
at
looks
those
much
clouds
better than that.
And all that. Okay, maybe I'm.
Yeah, the clouds
maybe I'm
were.
Easily impressed. I don't know.
The clouds are just something I found online, just a free.
And they look good.
Free download there.
And I really like. I don't know. I like the grittiness of. I don't know. It's cool.
Well, thank you.
I'm into this.
Yeah. So this level is much more complicated. This is one of the later levels. So I wrote a short blog about the engine, and this is one of the levels I showed in there. I showed some of the things that you can accomplish by editing values in the editor while you're playing. The great thing about having an engine editor is that you can tweak things as you go. You can fiddle with values and experiment while you're playing. So if you see, I can actually select any objects I want. On the right side, there's this panel that has a bunch of different data that controls how this entity behaves. It has a bunch of components attached to it. If anyone's ever used Unity, you'll probably be pretty familiar with this pattern. It has a sort of component based architecture where individual game objects can have any number of components attached to them. The components impart different behavior. You can combine those components to get, you know, different interesting things happening.
Yeah.
So this object is obviously the ball.
Yeah, it does remind me a lot of Unity. Dang, I really wish Stacy tried to come. She couldn't show up today, but I think she'd really be geeking out about this.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you demoed this for her?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Well, we're going to geek out later off camera. Okay, really cool.
So if you see some of these different objects, so the red blocks are obviously big pusher blocks. They're going to knock you off if you hit them. These blue blocks, maybe hard to see, but they're ice. So when I'm spinning, I'm not getting any traction on them.
Yeah. So you have to, know what momentum you go into it.
Yeah. So if it might be hard to see, but you can see that all of these objects have a collider on them, which basically just controls how things physically interact with each other. You'll see that the ball has quite a bit of friction on it. But if you look at these ice blocks, they have very little kinetic friction, as it's called.
Sure.
So what I can do is I can actually edit that live, and now I can roll around on this block. If I go into this other block, I'm going to slide around. So these are you can tweak things live. You can see how things feel. You can delete things. I can change the scale of these things, make it really big.
What?
Interestingly, when you make the ball really big, you start rolling really slowly, and that's because the way movement works is it actually gives you an angular momentum, and when you have a really big ball, the angular momentum doesn't go as far.
So what I can do is
I can actually like crank up the force with which it applies the angular momentum, and now I spin a lot faster.
Right. So it wasn't a mass thing that it calculated as being bigger that slowed it down. It was the
right. That I was actually initially like confused as to why it was going so slow because I saw the mass was so low. But it's
You're
actually
like,
because
am I
the,
God? Did I just make the, physics happen on right. accident?
So it's pretty interesting what you can do. These are just some sort of you know, fake little things. You probably wouldn't be doing this while you're building the level. But, you know, the editor really helped me build out these levels. It's cool because you can pause, you can resume, you can edit things as you're going. These are pretty basic features for a game engine, but they're kind of cool. What were the other? I had a couple other demos that I wanted to show off. I'll just go into another one here. Mm-hmm. So one of the obvious features that I have here is, you know, full 3D physics. I can't take too much credit for this because I'm using a library that was written. It's called BEPU Physics.
Okay.
It's fully written in .NET. It's super fast, super great.
Is that open source as well?
It's open source.
Cool.
I know the maintainer of it recently moved to GitHub, so it's all on there.
Wow.
I made a version of it that works on .NET Core. That's what I'm using in here. So what I got here is a little demo scene. When I press a button, it shoots a ball out. I just wanted to use this to demonstrate sort of the physics capabilities of the engine. Yeah,
you're attacking the .NET bot.
I'm destroying .NET bot here, unfortunately. So this just shows you, you know, some of the physics capabilities.
Yeah. That looks like it could relieve some stress, probably.
Perhaps if you don't like .NET bot.
Maybe it's like specifically tailored to .NET team stress. No, we want to take it out on the bot. Just put our manager's pictures up there. Wonder if Rich is watching this.
Easy.
Crazy. Yeah.
So I have one more demo, and this is what I talked about earlier. I threw together a better demo that shows off, you know, the real graphical capabilities that aren't using blocks and spheres and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is, once I open it, you'll probably some people watching will probably, you know, recognize the models and textures that I'm using. It's a pretty well-known download that's available on Crytek's website.
Whoa.
Actually. So this is just gonna do a little fly through. This is art that I did not create, which is why it looks so much better.
Right.
So this is called the Sponza Atrium. It's a pretty well-known scene that people use to sort of show off, you know, what their renderer is capable of. People online certainly have much more advanced renders than I've written here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all using .NET Core. It's pretty cool. The same stuff will run on Windows. It'll run on Linux. It'll run on Mac. It'll run anywhere that .NET Core runs. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So those are all the demos that I had prepared. That just sort of gives you an idea about, you know, what it is that I've built. But sort of, you know, the reason I came on and the reason that I shared this thing in the first place was just to sort of get people excited about what's possible with .NET Core and you know, what perhaps people haven't seen with .NET Core. A lot of what we're talking about and what we're focused on right now with, you know, the early versions of .NET Core is all about web services and, you know, microservices, web development, basically. Mm-hmm. This was a, you know, sort of a way to take .NET Core in a different direction, you know, put it through its paces in that way. I found a bunch of bugs doing this. I found, you know, part of the problem with being a developer on the team is that I was always using beta versions.
Right.
So I was hitting, you know, all sorts of bugs that, you know, regular developers would never hit.
Goody.
Hopefully that made the product better for everyone else.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it's extremely helpful. There's hundreds of people who never had to go through anything because of the bugs they found. So that's always good.
Yep. So that was all the demos I had.
Should I try to get through the first level? You want to switch seats?
Oh boy, yeah.
Oh boy.
Let's go for it. Let me pull it up here.
Is your keyboard weird? I mean, there's cool letters, but.
I wouldn't worry about it in the game.
Cool.
Yeah. Just don't try to type anything, actually.
Okay, cool.
Here, this is the actual standalone version of the game.
Okay, switch.
All right. So the controls, you're gonna want to use WASD.
I just entered a play, right?
Use the mouse to click on that, yeah, and then go to level one.
Okay.
Wait. Click the level one button.
Oh. Sure.
So this just shows you the level.
Cool.
So WASD is movement, and then mouse is to control the camera, so you're gonna need to use the mouse as well.
Whoa, okay, I want that, that's why.
Yeah, so those
I feel like I'm gonna get way too much momentum and die.
Oh, you'll be fine.
No. Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay.
You will die if you fall off, by the way. So.
No, I figured. Yeah. I knew what I was getting into.
Not that it's a big deal. Okay. But
you're
doing great, actually.
I know.
You're doing fantastic.
Oh.
You know, the points are technically optional.
But like,
unless you're going for
this.
A high score here.
Look at the detail.
Oh.
Oh, now I can see the pixels. Zoom in.
Sorry. You zoomed in too far.
I ruined your demo. Look at the grass. Sorry.
So you can see the premise is pretty simple. You know, you just roll into the end zone, and that's pretty much it. This level is the first one, so there's pretty much...
Oh, how do you jump?
You don't jump
on the first
level. That's a power-up, which you haven't picked up.
Okay. Oh, when do I get the power-up?
The power-up doesn't show up till level 3.
Well, I'm just going to keep playing.
We're trying to ease you into it so that you don't get overwhelmed.
Oh, no. Now I have to do a crazy drop. Okay.
Luckily, there's an elevator for you.
There's an elevator?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you weren't paying attention to the intro video, but there is an elevator. Yeah.
People
so there
are
it
messing
is.
With your mics. It's hard to... Oh, there it is. Okay.
Indeed.
Run. Oh, no.
You got it.
Okay, but I'm still rolling.
So I don't know if you've ever played Marble Madness, but Marble Madness was similar in some ways, you know, pretty different in other ways. It was a really old game, so it was 2D. It didn't have very complicated physics. There weren't any power-ups from what I remember.
I know I've played something a lot like this. It was probably on like addictinggames.com when that was popular. I haven't been on there in forever.
So that's
what
the power.
This guy?
That's what you need to get.
Want.
I don't know if the audio is coming through in the video loud enough, but I made a pretty funny sound effect for that jump power up.
Okay.
That you aren't hearing, but perhaps the people on the video can hear.
Do I need momentum?
Yes, you do. And space is the jump. Oh, you got it.
Oh,
you need more momentum than that, yeah. Whew.
Okay.
See, this is probably the first level that's truly challenging because you actually can fairly easily die without just rolling yourself off.
Oop. I do want to fall once just to see what
happens.
Oh,
you do? It's not too spectacular. It just you know, restarts the level.
And then
the
I'm
level.
Back. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Do I escape?
You did pretty good. You beat essentially beat the first three levels. Yeah, you can hit quit. Yep.
Exit. Well, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had some links at the bottom, or did you, if you want people to contribute,
Where
should they go?
So I would say there's a few projects I have on GitHub that could be interesting for people that are interested in game development. The renderer that I used is open source. It's a project that I built myself. It's called Veldrid. It's on my GitHub profile. It's sort of a graphics abstraction layer that lets you write graphics code in an agnostic fashion that lets you run on DirectX or OpenGL. I'm interested in anybody contributing if they want to, or they can just look at the code, they can take in their own projects. We also noticed that the editor had a sort of UI framework associated with it, those panels and buttons and things. That's also open source. This is actually using another open source library called IMGUI. It stands for Immediate Mode GUI.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super cool project. I just wrote a .NET wrapper for it. So that's how all the UI framework is implemented. So those are a couple of the cool projects that I have on GitHub that perhaps people would be interested in contributing to. I would say that in general, if you're interested in game development and .NET, you know, look at some of the open source projects that are out there. Maybe look into Monogame, look into Unity.
Totally.
For me, the way that I really got into this is I found I was passionate about graphics. I started working on my graphics projects. I found that it was really interesting. I spent a ton of time on it in my free time. Sort of naturally progressed from there. So I'd say if you're trying to get into games and .NET and trying to figure out what you'd like to do, take a look at some of the open source projects out there. See if anything, you know, tickles your fancy and find your niche in there, because there's so many different components in a game engine. There's so many different parts that, you know, you can really get yourself devoted to one thing, and there's just so many different components that there's so much work to be done there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
come make cool games with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
The reason that I sort of am sharing this and you know, not just keeping this as a personal project is I'd really love for people to sort of, you know, get involved in this and start their own projects. You know, I don't necessarily need people to contribute to my projects. I just love for there to be, you know, an ever more vibrant community around games and .NET. Mm-hmm. And like I said, .NET's always been popular for games. So I just wanted to sort of, you know, express the idea that .NET Core is really, really cool for games and there's cool things coming in the future.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different ways you configure it and use it with games. It's
yeah, exactly.
Not all just like Visual Studio. You can use it with Unity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Stacey has her .NET game show is yep. showing a lot of that coolness.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. This was really interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Thanks.